Keith, do you camp?
You know, I have. And Kathy and I on our honeymoon went to a place down on Interstate 49 down toward Fort Smith, and it was yurts, and it was awesome. I can't remember the town, but it was really cool. Glamping is popular.
Now, wait a minute. You weren't glamping at that point. You went to a yurt.
Well, a yurt is glamping. You couldn't see your neighbors. They got a hot tub on the deck. They got the, you know, restroom inside.
I don't want to say anything.
Air conditioning, all that jazz.
I remembered when you went. Can I tell you something? It was not quite as glorious as you're making it sound right now. I'm telling you, I remember when you went.
It was great. It was awesome. I never said anything bad about it.
You didn't?
No.
Could be my memory. Haley, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Who's our veteran of the quarter?
Hi there.
Oh, must
we're
be
not
Kayla.
Here today to talk about that. But she did bring a veteran with her.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the table.
Good morning. Good to see you guys.
Good to be seen on a Monday morning.
It's true.
So glamping. What in the world are we going to talk about today?
And how did you get involved?
Well, you know, just it's so amazing how God works in your life. And, you know, you might have a plan for it, but he opens doors that you are not even privy to. And
like
so,
printing company.
Like a printing company. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. We're in the same boat here, Keith.
There you go.
So I did my time there at Branson Bank, retired in May. And so the Lord opened up just the fact of being a mom, you know, pause in life and being a mom. And so this was placed on my heart to open up a glamping business in 2020. And so it's called Ozark Mountain Adventure.
You picked a bad year to think about it.
Hang on a minute. There's a lot of things that could come up. We had ladies came from the college. We have a cookie business, right?
We have
people that do other things. But you got to tell us a little bit. By the way, Captain, we'll be with you in just a minute. How did glamping do? You know, it's like Joseph woke up and the brothers were bowing down to him in a dream. Were you out with a StarCraft camper and got rushed off? How?
Well, it's a fun story, but I'll keep it really short. So in 2010, 2011, purchased some land. Didn't know why I was purchasing land. I'm not a farmer, but bought 58 acres just off of T Highway there. Purchased it and just sat on it. Didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew one thing, and they're not making more land.
Sure.
And so just sat on that. And then I went on a trip to Colorado, fell in love with glamping, and I thought, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I have to bring this concept back to Branson. And so I learned a lot in 2018, 2019 about infrastructure and getting county approval and soil testing and just the overall infrastructure. Putting in a road is a lot more than what it actually sounds, an underground electric and sewer and the well. And, you know, and it was definitely challenging for sure. But, it, you know, I learned a lot and I'm always liking to get challenged in life.
Sure.
And so I thought, well, if the concept doesn't work, then I'll have three really good friends to come and hang out with me.
Sure.
So it did. It worked out. You know, we're full tonight.
So is this like a tent on the ground?
Well, think about it like this. It's like a deck. And then you have a safari tent on top, and then you have the luxury of a heating and air system.
Time out. I appreciate where you're headed, but I gotta go somewhere, and either one of you can answer this. Keith, I've done a lot of tent camping. Keith.
Yeah.
And Darren, I know there's a lot of tents up in Pontiac, but when it's raining like this, I can tell you right now, I have visions right now of laying next to my wife. Laying my hand over going, oh, my goodness, what is that little puddle of water we have there? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I've been there.
Okay. And we find ourselves picking up that tent and going to Washington, D.C. and staying in a hotel drying out our tent. So
it's
let's
not
go
that
back.
Kind of tent, I'm yeah. sure.
Well, tell me, there's got to be a difference because you got people coming tonight and you don't want the phone calls as it's dripping in the pantry. So what makes the tent quality weather resistant?
Well, they are made in Montana, so situations
okay.
there. But actually, three people are staying tonight or today.
How big are they
right now? It's about, I would say, 20 by 20.
That's good size.
Okay.
So then your restroom is right next to you. So it's your own restroom. There's not a community bathroom there for you. And so
running water.
Yeah.
Into a septic?
Yes.
Wow, so it's not just a camping toilet.
Air conditioning and heating?
Yes.
Wow.
Queen size bed.
Wow.
But no TV.
No TV.
I like that.
So
now,
if you
even
wanna
say that, right, on your advertising and stuff?
Yes, yes. You have to unplug. You know, so many times in society, we're glued to our phones, or we have to watch the game updates, you know. But there is something definitely said to unplug and to have a conversation with the one that you love. And so that's what it is. You have a campfire there, build a nice little campfire, and just chat
you
about life.
You have a box to lock up their cell phones? So they really unplug.
Yeah. We should. I think Chick-fil-A
makes
that.
No, I don't know that you should.
Put a box there and
what
say,
a great idea.
In here.
you have that option to be self-disciplined. So how did Caleb come to the picture?
So Caleb and I actually went to College of the Ozarks together. We graduated together. And
the School of Higher Learning and No Debt.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so yeah, it's funny how God works and, you know, your paths will cross, you know, time and time again. So our paths have crossed a few times and learned that, you know, if I were ever to be lost in the woods, I would want Caleb to be there to help me to, you know, help with some survival tips. And so we just got to talking. You know, our kids are in the same class there at school, the Ozarks. Shout out to them. And, you know, when you find individuals' talents and it's like, hey, I have this at Ozark Mountain Adventure. You have something that, you know, you have in talent. And it's something that we just kind of collaborated with. And said, hey, why don't you come over and teach some classes there at Ozark Mountain Adventure? And he's going to do that. So if you are ever in an event of a serious situation, knowing what you need to do, how to start a fire, you know, how to secure shelter, water purification, it's kind of difficult to do that without a guide. And well, so Caleb is going to
Well, the guide takes you to the website, takes you over to glamping, right?
Yeah, let's find out if Caleb's qualified. Let's find out if he's qualified to do that. Yeah. Caleb, tell me where you were born, grew up, and a little bit about your military, and yeah. then all this survival stuff.
Sure. How so, yeah, I grew up in Georgia. I'm a you know, good old country boy. You know, grew up running through the woods, doing exactly this kind of stuff. You know, my idea of a good time when I was a kid was, you know, going out and chopping down trees and building forts and stuff. So, you know, I kind of started young, me and my friends. Fast forward several years, as Haley said, I went to College of the Ozarks, ended up coming to this region based on some family connections. I really never fully left. You know, the military took me a few different places, but I ended up settling back here again. And I joined the military through ROTC in college. And commissioned as an officer, went into the aviation branch. Mm-hmm. So one of the things with aviation officers is we're considered high-risk personnel. Yep. For isolation. You know, there's plenty of books and movies about all that you can see how, you know, pilots get shot down behind enemy lines and have to escape and evade. So the Army saw fit to send me to the U.S. Army SEER school, Survive, Evade, Resist, yep. and Escape. So I took that course as part of my training. That just added to the knowledge base that I'd, you know, kind of built myself with my outdoor activities, camping, hiking, all that through the years, and you know, really polished and honed that. Fast forward again years later, as you said, you know, just the way that life circumstances, you know, God ordained our paths to go different ways. I ended up back at the college, this time as a professor. And I've had the opportunity for the last about 8 years to teach survival skills to these students. And so, you know, we go over these basic skills. We get some more advanced stuff as well. You know, it really is interesting and really wonderful to see the way that students will start with no knowledge. I have students from every background, every major. I've had public relations majors walk into the classroom in high heels, ready to go out in the woods and do these skills. And so they do it, and they're faced with a day like today where the rain's pouring down.
Cold,
wet, and I'm saying, look, you got to start a fire, and you have to do it with just a knife and a, you know, a spark rod.
Can I call you Captain? Is that right?
What's that?
Can I call you Captain?
That's fine, sure.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're probably a good professor, but Keith, I gave my son Matt Ingram something for Christmas this year to do exactly what he just said.
Did you give him that little lighter thingy?
I gave him that one where you take the magnesium rod and scrape it off. Right. And yep. You can say I'm going to reach into my pocket, but I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to have my magnesium rod, uh-huh. and I'm going to have my little flint striker. And I forget how many degrees that thing will do in a wet day. Where are you telling me I can't have that with me when I go with you?
So that's actually exactly what we use. It's a ferrocerium rod.
Yeah, right.
So that's exactly what I teach them to practice with. You know, there's some that come to the class like, oh, are you going to teach us to do a bow drill or
no.
Fire fly out? I'm like, no, I will demonstrate to you why that's not a good idea to rely on.
So let's walk through this a minute. I was at what do they call these days down in Branson when they have the Coopy days or whatever, what do they call those?
Oh,
yeah. That you know what it is.
Yeah.
And I can walk by, and the guy's there, and he's got him a metal little container, and he's scraping off this magnesium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
with the one side of this.
Right.
Then he turns it over. He's got the flint on it. And when he hit that thing, would you tell me how many degrees did that thing?
Oh, it's thousands of degrees. It's a very bright flash. It burns extremely hot, and it'll start wet tinder and things like that.
See, Keith, you need one of those.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. Now, that's okay. I got that part down because I got the fire going. That's important. What's most important, Keith? Fire or shelter?
Well, I guess it depends on the weather that you're at and the terrain that you're at and if there's anybody coming after you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Caleb?
Absolutely. And there's definitely a difference between like military in a wartime situation versus civilian survival. And really, it's the focus. You know, the military is trying to evade. A civilian most likely is trying to attract attention. So we, you know, look at the differences between those scenarios and, you know, teach and train whoever we're working with for the right scenario.
I know the Westerns that I watch, when they're trying to get away, they have a dry camp. There's no fire. There's no fire. They don't want anything to draw attention.
Right.
Keith, you didn't answer my question. Which do you want first, fire or shelter?
Well, it depends on the weather. I mean, you
know. Depends on the weather. What are you going to cook on?
If it's 80 degrees, I don't care about weather right now. I want to get somewhere where I can be safe.
No, I don't care if it's 90 degrees. I want the fire.
Well, if I got some jerky in my saddlebag, I'm okay for a little while. What is the most important, the number one thing that you're going to look for? Charlie and I have struck out across the somewhere.
Yeah, so Keith,
and here we are.
You're actually somewhat right there. That it is situation dependent, but there are some general rules that we apply for considering things like this. And we say there's four priorities when it comes to survival, in no particular order: shelter, water, fire, and food. And then there's another thing we call the rules of three that you can go without each of those under, you know, particular circumstances on average. So believe it or not, shelter is usually actually the most important in a extreme weather situation. So, you know, extreme snow, extreme heat, right, something like that, you've got about 3 hours before that could have a very negative, potentially fatal impact on the human body.
Well, I mean, we're raining like crazy out there.
Yeah.
We're when we came in, but it was 53 degrees,
sure.
So I'm not going to freeze. But is shelter still number one? I mean,
I would say so.
But, you know.
Yeah, so if you are wet in weather like we have today, it is actually entirely possible for hypothermia to still set in.
Really? At
50s, yeah.
Hey, guys, look, I found a cave over here.
There's good a bear stuff in the cave, but he'll leave if we come in.
Well, there's your food.
There's your food.
That's good.
So what is the first thing we got to do to, I mean, we're, boom, there we are. How do we find shelter?
So a lot of times you might be able to find something natural like a cave, especially here in the Ozarks. You know, we've got, you know, rock outcroppings and everything nearby. But if you don't have that, you can build something. You know, it takes a little bit of time and effort, but depending on the materials you've got, you can have something that'll just get you through a rainstorm in about 5 minutes. You can have something that'll get you through multiple days within a couple of hours if you know what to do.
So next to my little flint thing that I've got, I've got my little pocket tent that I've carried with me on my survival.
There you go.
Okay.
Hey, you're more prepared for this outing than most people.
Hey, when you send me out with the ticks and the chiggers, I got to have a place to sleep. I got to have something to eat. And I happen to have some of that jerky you're talking about because I took some long rats with me.
There you go.
So is it possible in this small little pack I've got to help myself survive because I was prepared?
Oh, absolutely. Preparedness is the name of the game. Yeah, and that's the sad reality is a lot of people are not prepared for that type of situation. We're really good at surviving as humanity. If you look around, we're warm right now. We've got, you know, the modern miracle of HVAC,
right,
that we could call our fire for today, keeping the building warm. We've got the building itself, our shelter. Water is, you know, readily available. We've got coffee beans in it this morning.
Sure.
But, you know, we made our lives very comfortable. We do quite well for ourselves.
Now,
we don't have to think about it. What we're bad at is rapidly changing when our circumstances change.
We're going to run out of time, and Darren, I'm going to tell you, we're going to take the break right at 7:30. We'll do a couple of them.
You're going to put both of them together?
Yeah, but here, but you're going to tell us how this has to do with glamping, but I want to ask you one other thing. I know what dysentery is like, Keith, okay? And I know impure water, I want to stay away from it. You know that from the Westerns.
Right, yep.
Now, I remember my little tablet that I used to have that the military gave me. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. What are my options in my little packet? Do I have my tablet, or what am I doing to make sure my water's clean?
Yeah, you've got lots of options. If you're prepared like you are, you've got, you know, those chemical tablets, whether it's chlorine, iodine, or whatever. It does make the water taste terrible, but it does make it safe.
Yeah.
That's so that's the important thing with that. Another thing that you could do is get a commercial water filter. There's several different brands on the market that all do a great job. And that's, some of them are as simple as pour water in one side and just wait for it to drip out the other, and it comes out clean and clear.
Are they pretty good?
They are. I carry several in my kit.
Are they filters or paper filters or what are they?
No, they're like an extremely extremely tight micron level filter. They'll filter out bacteria, even some viral stuff is marketed out there.
So can I go to Lake Tanikomo, grab a bucket of water, pull it through this filter, and have drinkable water?
That's yes, yeah. The commercial filters are quite capable of that.
Keith, that's a big deal.
You said something, Captain, that our kit. Mm-hmm. Do we all need to have a kit with us? I mean, do we carry that around? Do we leave it in the car?
What I teach my students is have these supplies readily available, whatever that means to them. It might be in the house, in the dorm room for my college students, in the car. And it's actually good to have multiples. Some of us are familiar with the old phrase, two is one is none. So having multiples in various places, because you never know what could happen. A lot of people that get into the survival aspect tend to focus in on one particular thing. They convince themselves that this one thing is going to be the end of the world as we know it, and they're going to need to survive in that setting. I teach a more holistic approach of, look, we don't know what's going to happen. And even scripture tells us that, right? We can't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient to today is the evil thereof. So we look at this and say, okay, how do we be good stewards, be prepared for whatever possibilities are out there? And there's these certain skill sets that if you take them, they'll apply and they'll work in any situation, whether we're talking an urban situation where you're stuck in a city with a major disaster like Hurricane Katrina, whether you find yourself out in the woods lost and disoriented and needing to spend the night while the search teams are looking for you while you're hiking, if you're driving along during a winter storm and you suddenly end up in the ditch. And we don't even have to start talking about major disasters like tornadoes, hurricanes, looking at major socioeconomic collapse, but we also know that those are realities of the world. All we have to do is look at the news.
Let me ask Keith a question, and we got to close. Keith, get your hands out there and show me what size box you think you might need in your car. And how tall? Tell you what, you'd be surprised what you could put in that, Keith.
Yeah, probably. How can I find out about, is there classes out at your place?
There are, yes. So if you're listening this morning and you are just like, man, I want to take in some more information because this stuff is very important, and Caleb is so down to earth and will go any direction that you need to at that survival training class. So we do have two spots that are available. One is March 30th, this weekend. Grab your family. It's Easter weekend. Grab your family and learn those skills that are needed for you to go out into the woods and to go hiking. And then April 13th. So two opportunities there for you to do that.
And that will be at your location?
At Ozark Mountain Adventure.
Is it on your website?
It is on the website. And it's from 8 to noon. And then what we're going to do is we're going to provide hot dogs and chips and s'mores and all that.
Good survival food.
You like that?
Like that. All right. So your website is?
OzarkMTNAdventure.com.
I would suggest you all get some time together with Darren and come back so we can spend more time, because this is a lot of stuff to cover. Things, for instance, like I was with a POW in Vietnam that had to exit, okay?
Yes.
Unbelievable story, same type of survival type things. But I want to ask you one thing. I'm not trying to stump you, because you seem to be a pretty good guy, but you did say Army, and that bothers me a little bit. What is the one thing in the woods, as far as direction, if you're lost in the woods, that you've got to find? The one thing.
Hey,
what is it?
Moss on the north side of the tree.
No, oh. Keith. Nice try. What is it?
So trying to find direction out there.
Right.
You've got to establish where you're trying to get, but a compass is very helpful.
Absolutely wrong.
What do you think?
An armadillo.
Well, you might not find an armadillo.
If there's an armadillo there, he'll find his way to the road. You just follow him. Am I right?
You are not wrong.
That's in Arkansas.
Hey, it's Good Morning Ozarks, 88.1 FM. This has been fun, from glamping to survival. This is Neat
Keith.
That's
great. Hey, Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Come back again, you guys. And let's talk a little bit more. And I'd just like to find out more about your place to glamp. And you can make reservations on the website.
Yes.
And Captain, thank you very much for coming, and come back and let's talk more.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Seems to me that your place is one that's not like going to one where there's 400 of these things. How many do you have?
Three.
And you can't see the other guy, right?
Cannot see the
that's
other guy.
Pretty neat. Go on site and tell your wife, I was thinking of taking you to the Hilton, to the spa, to the Big Cedar, to... we're going someplace else nice. But honey, I promise you, you're going to be warm.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a toilet.
Yep.
It's going to be quiet.
Yep.
Could be good. And the price, I'm sure, from what I'm hearing, is competitive. So there you go.
All right.
Keith?
Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. Look forward to you returning. And the 30th is that date coming up quick. It's Easter. It's this Sunday, so you'll want to get on their website. We'll put a link on our KLFCradio.com website so they can find you easier, and you can check that out.
When you get time, look up the Red Bull Division, if you will, please.
I certainly will.
The Red Bull Division my father was in, and the city manager of Hollister, Rick Ziegenfuss, also commanded the same division. That's you Army guys are pretty doggone good to have around. You don't have as good of food as we have, but you're good fighters. God bless you. Thank you.
You too, sir.